the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. And I want to follow that up by another text from Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 6. I've labeled this that have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? That's one of the earliest things that I learned in my Christian walk in the church and even at Bible school. I would hear different people say, you describe some situation, you're going through some difficulty, and somebody would inevitably say, have you prayed about that? And I remember thinking, well, not really. You know, hadn't really prayed about it. I don't know if I really knew how you did those things. But I was thinking, I said to Val yesterday, I wonder how many times we've prayed and God has answered our prayers. I said, it has to be in the hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands in the last 40 years together, how we prayed about that moment for safety, how we prayed about that for provision, how we prayed about that for comfort, how we prayed about that for protection, how we prayed about that, you know, prayers upon prayers upon prayers. And sad to say, many times I forgot to say thank you to God that he watched over us in that traffic. Right, while he was caring for you over those icy road, and you know, we never mentioned it again. And yet at the time when we prayed it, oh, how we needed it and how we wanted it and how we longed that God would help us. And so I said, you know, I need to be thanking God more for the so many prayers that he has answered. And it just seems to be increasing. If anything, it's increasing. And so I thought, that's a good thing. Have you prayed about it? And because if you haven't, then you're missing out on the very thing that God wants to do and attempts to do in our lives. I believe that the majority of our blessings, of all the blessings in the Christian life, the majority of our blessings are obtained by simple prayer. Just simple prayer. Other people have obtained blessings, and we see that. We recognize that, and we rejoice with them as a prayer has been answered. Maybe it's for a loved one. Maybe it's someone who's not saved, but the Lord answered that prayer. So we saw that they obtained blessings by prayer. And so I would say to you today and to me today that we too may obtain blessings by prayer. Just let that sink into your heart and let the Lord open your heart to this, because there is indeed a simplicity about prayer. I mean, I've got several shelves on prayer. Kind of funny how they take the subject a simple subject, and there's books upon books upon books upon books upon books. And I thought, you know, I think the Bible is probably the best reference here, because it doesn't have it complicated, right? It doesn't seem to be mysteries. There's something very simple about prayer. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. And just the profoundness of this is really, really amazing. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it shall be opened. Or, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will be given a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will be given him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Amen. 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 Now turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians, and we'll read together Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. I've got this underlined in two different colors, and then there's a box around it on top of that. So this is obviously I've clung to this in more than one occasion. Chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So in the light of that, that's what he's saying. So in the light of that, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. So think about now as things that perhaps you've brought here to church and you've been very anxious. And we were just saying before the service in the prayer time that stress is a really terrible thing. You know, you can have symptoms for heart attack and you think you're having a heart attack and it's stress. You can have all kinds of problems. You know, there can be all kinds of you don't even realize that you're stressed, right? You're not conscious of being stressed, except that only after later when you stop feeling that way, you realize how stressed you were. Think of caring about somebody else or looking after some situation, the effects of stress. And I've often wondered if that shouldn't be one of our prayers that we pray over people. Lord, protect them from the stress of this situation, you know, with their children or with their uncle or with grandma or whoever it would be. That, because that is, to me, is one of the things that sleepless nights and worry and concern and physical problems because of this, just because of the amount of stress that someone might be going through. And there's so many different ways that can come about. So do not be anxious. This is where this is so beautiful. You'll want to underline this if it's not underlined in your Bible. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Oh, there it is. In everything by prayer and supplication, which means simply to ask, let your request be made known to God. The question is this morning, have you let your request be made known unto God? Have you prayed about it? Did you bring that before the Lord in petition and supplication and maybe even intercession? Did you pray in the Spirit about it? Did you pray over it and around it and because of it and in spite of it? Did you pray? That's of the essence, because there is this at our disposal. This is given to us so that we would be comforted and we would be cared for. It's how the Lord looks after us as we seek to, as we pray and as we learn to pray. And we do learn, right? From the simplest, I never did like that children's prayer. Kind of weird prayer in some ways to me, but perhaps it's brought you comfort, so I won't say too much more, thus rob you of your comfort. But now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. So far, so good, right? If I die before, that part always caused me anxiety. If I die before I awake, right? I would kind of freak me out about that, because I remember one about the diary, which was helpful. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, please throw my journal into the lake. So you might have put some of those prayer requests in your journal. But either way, this is an opportunity, because the result of everything by prayer, everything by supplication, with thanksgiving, right? Let your request be made known unto God. And here's the result of that. And the peace of God shall garrison your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. The result of that prayer. The result of you praying over it. The result of you lifting it up before the Lord and unburdening. Learning to cast. Oh, there's a lesson. There's things that you... I'm just thinking of Peter, where Peter says, cast all your care upon him. I've had nights where I couldn't sleep, and sometimes they were just too much pizza or something. There wasn't anything really serious, but I thought, you know, I'm thinking about laying in bed, I'm thinking about stuff, and so I get up and kneel down beside a chair and say, now, Lord, I'm going to cast this on you. Learning how to cast is, in other words, it's rolling it off of you and say, now, Lord, I'm rolling this off of me onto you. All my anxiety, all the stress I'm feeling about this, all the uncertainty, I know I'm rolling it onto you. Cast all your care upon him. And again, the reason, for he cares for you. And the result of that, of course, is peace in our hearts because we've prayed about it. Many times the problem is why it's so difficult, because we're carrying it all. We're carrying it from the beginning, we're carrying it in the middle, and we're carrying it at the end. And it's just too hard to carry. And oftentimes we find ourselves through prayer, tears will burst as we realize how stressed we were about that loved one or about that situation, financial or physical or whatever else it would be. So I thank the Lord for Matthew chapter 7. Ask that you might receive. The purpose of prayer is that we might receive something. And this, that by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I'll take this with me the rest of my life. And I trust you will probably too. You will be a Philippians 4 person, where you are the first. So just remind yourself again. And even though I've memorized it, I still open my Bible and I read it, just to make sure that I don't miss any words that are very crucial. So using those two verses as a platform of Matthew 7 and Philippians chapter 4, I thought Matthew 7 is so full. You know, we say, could it be? Could it actually be that we could ask and receive? We would knock, be open to us. It's so full. It's so deep. It's so broad. It's so precious in every way. What a verse. What a verse given from God to his children. So precious. And yet, is that the final word on it? Is it that simple? And I would say, no, it's not quite that simple. In other words, we have to compare Scripture with Scripture. We can't just take one verse on it and say, well, that must be how it is. It's because we don't do that with anything else either. But we compare Scripture with Scripture because in other verses, additions are made. And also you say, oh, there's an addition. In other cases, there's a condition. There's a condition. And we didn't read that in the other verse, but there was a condition. And so we say, maybe it's not quite as simple as I thought it was, but I will read the verses and so that I won't neglect anything, because I don't want anything hindering. Whatever it is, I want to read all the verses. I won't read them all this morning, but I want to read all the major verses that so that I've read them, lest something would hinder getting the full benefit of prayer. Right? I want that full benefit. I want to maximize what this will come out. So I want to make sure you're only praying part of that prayer. Somebody might say you need to pray, and I agree with you. Let's read what it says so that we can take something home here this morning. So the question really is, what are the conditions on which successful prayer depends? If we're going to learn to be prayer people, and we are called to, we before this is all over in our lives, we will know more about prayer. I have been strengthened by people's prayers unendingly, and I'm so grateful for that, and I want to be able to pray for others as they prayed for me as well. So what are the conditions? How does it work? What do we need to know about this? Well, number one, our requests must be according to God's will. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John is so helpful on this. Verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Here it is. What a rich, rich verse. And this is the confidence that we have towards him. Okay, now just let's pause for a minute. We've got a confidence. This is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now that wasn't mentioned in Matthew 7, was it? So if we ask anything according to his will, we have one guarantee. That if it's according to his will and we ask him, and of course it goes on, verse 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we've asked of him. That's what he said. He said, if you know that you have asked something in his will, because I have prayed for things that later I can see, I can agree with the Lord, I can see that really wasn't his will for me. I thought it was, and I wanted it to be, but it wasn't. It was my will. It's what I wanted more than anything else. And then we say, Lord, I want your will on this. I want your perfect will in this. Because if you ask anything according to his will, he hears it. And he said, if you know, because the question is, are you praying prayers that you know God is hearing? Because if we know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. That is so his will is what we want. And there are many, many, many selfish prayers. Oh, my goodness. I think of the prayer meetings I've been in over the years. It's actually quite hilarious. It just cracks you right up. Everything from, Lord, the men in this church really need a shaking. It wouldn't be so bad if it would have been another man praying that, but it was a woman praying it. And then, of course, I've heard crazier things than that, but it's just all kinds of things. And I said, it's just, Lord, you know what I want, and I know that you want what I want. Well, maybe not quite that way. So just unbelievable self-centeredness. And so I'm grateful for when the Lord gives us guidelines so that we can pray with maturity and we pray with, you know, with direction from Scripture. I think I could put this in a summary, is that when you desire God's glory, you know you're in good territory. Lord, I desire that you be glorified in this. Whether it comes out, whether I get that job or if I don't get the job. Lord, if I do get the job, then may you be glorified in this. May everybody know that the famous one has answered this prayer. And Lord, if I don't get it, then I bless you and I believe that you will not, I'm not going to be, you know, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. So, Lord, I thank you that you're looking after, but Lord, I'd ask that most of all, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified in my prayers. You will never go off on that. You won't be veering off to the right or left. You will be dead on, because you desire his will more than you desire the answer. So this is how powerful prayers are prayed, that you desire his will more than you do the answer. You long for the answer, and you trust that that will be how it'll come out. But if it isn't, you long for the Lord to be glorified, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that he would be praised, and people would give God thanks for all the things that are happening. So that's the first thing. Our request must be according to his will. And then, if we know that, if we have a sense of that, it's really something. It really, really is something. Number two. The second condition on which successful prayer depends is that we approach God on the merits and goodness of his Son and in his name that we pray that, and not in our own merits. In other words, Lord, you know I've served you these many years. That's not the basis that prayer is going to be answered. Lord, you know I haven't missed church. And Lord, you know that I faithfully read my Bible. Lord, you know that I'm a good person. And all of a sudden, you're bringing things about you as if God should see that about you or see that about me and say, Lord, you know, I've been a pastor all these years. Oh, well, let me get on it right away then. Right, since that's been true of you. And I think we've all often come as if somehow we brought something that God would be impressed about. And so, what we must pray about is in his name. Now turn with me, if you would, to John 14. John 14, it's not the Gospel of John, but the other John, not the Epistle, but the Gospel. That's what I'm trying to say here. Let me flip it open here. Verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. I come in his name. And that's more than a tack on the end of a prayer. Oh yeah, in Jesus' name. No, Father, I come in the name of Jesus. And often, I don't know about you, but I find myself saying, Lord, this poor man needs help here. Lord, you know I'm destitute. You cry out. You cry out. That you pray in his name, but there's something, you come, that's the only thing there is. You say, Lord, it's because I come in your name that I believe that you will hear me and you will answer my prayer. Psalm 66, verse 18, whatever else we would do, this is an important, important, important thing as a congregation and as individuals, is that if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. So when I come in Jesus' name, wanting his will to be done, well then, I must. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear my prayer. Remember that. Just remember that. So we confess our unworthiness while pleading the merits of Jesus. I think that's how, say, Lord, I come here, I'm bankrupt. Lord, I don't have anything going for me here. I'm a poor, destitute person here. I need you. God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to answer this prayer. But I don't want anything to be in my heart that would hinder, that would hinder what I'm going to ask for here. So we confess our unworthiness. Say, Lord, I don't deserve anything. It's all been by your grace, all by your mercy, all by your kindness, all by your goodness. Everything, Lord, is here. I don't deserve anything, Lord. My sins, which are many. Right? Isn't that a powerful way? Lord, my sins, which are many. I can't come in anything of myself here. I'm not worthy really to ask you of anything, but I'm asking. I'm asking here today, Lord, on the merits of Jesus, because of what your son did on the cross, I am now praying in that strong name, in thy strong name. And then I just say, Lord, is there anything in my heart that would hinder that prayer? You see, if I live in sin and I go on in a course that's hateful to God and hurtful to God, I don't think my prayers will be answered because the writer says, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. So I can't be full of self-centeredness and corruption and evil and hurtful things and say, Lord, here I come again. Oh, by the way, never mind all that I've been involved in my life here. Just answer my prayer. And so our hearts, there's a place of preparing our hearts. And haven't you often felt unworthy to come to pray? You know you've got this need and say, Lord, I'm almost hesitant to come because I'm so conscious how unworthy I am. And yet I come. See, and yet I come. An unworthy person asking for something that I don't deserve, but trusting that God would grant that prayer. That's a very, very powerful experience when you realize it wasn't because of how wonderful I am, it's because of how wonderful he is and how powerful he is and how beautiful he is. So, number one, our request must be according to God's will. Number two, we approach God on the merit and goodness of his son and in his name, not our own name. We don't come in anything that because, Lord, I'm this or I'm that. No, I'm undone. Well, you know, the writer, when they saw in Isaiah, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he says, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm undone here. I've seen the Lord, and I just have nothing to brag about here. I bless his name. So number one, according to his will. Number two, we approach God in the merits and goodness of his son. Now thirdly, how successful prayer works, we must exercise faith in the power and the willingness of God to answer our prayer. So we come in faith. We come in his name, but we come in faith. Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. That's what he said. That's what we believe that he said. So we exercise faith in the willingness of God to answer our requests. That we, like you say, Lord, I'm pretty sure you're not going to answer this. I can pretty well sure you're not going to get that prayer answered. Lord, I'm pretty certain that this isn't what you want for my life, but I'm going to ask anyway. I think that perverts it a bit. I think we must believe that God is able and God is willing to answer our requests. Now, how do we know how that works? Well, first of all, regarding God's ableness, we simply look at the resurrection of Jesus. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, that's we know that he's able. If God can resurrect his son from the dead, I think he can look after any request that I might have here this morning. So we look at the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and we say, there's where the power is. Resurrection power resides in God. And he must have, because if I'm going to ask for something, protection, guidance, direction, anything else, God must have almighty power. He cannot be a weak God. Say, well, Lord, I don't know if you're able to do this. Well, no, it's God, you know, I know you're able to do this because you have mighty power. So that's the ableness of God, is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The second thing, though, is that there must be more than almighty power. There must be the love of God, that we know that God loves me and would answer my prayer. So how does that work? Well, as we look to the resurrection for the ableness of God, we look to the cross of Christ, where Jesus died for us and shed his blood for us, we look at the cross of Christ and we see his love in sparing not, is that if he spares not his only son, how much more will he do this or that for us? So he didn't spare his son. He did not withhold his one and only son from death. And therefore, I know something of the love of God towards me. Number one, the resurrection tells me he's able. But number two, the cross tells me that he loves me. That despite sin in my life, God says, I will forgive you because I took all of your sin, past, present, and future, upon myself, and so that you might be free and that you might have eternal life. That, wow, what love. What wonderful, wonderful love. So these are the proofs of the power. Say, well, I don't know if God's got enough power. Well, look at the resurrection. Say, but I don't know if God loves me enough. Look at the cross. These are the proofs of the power and the love of the Lord. So that when we come to Psalm 84, verse 11, he says this great verse. He says, no good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. In other words, when you commit yourself to Christ, something bigger is happening in here. What is that? He's committing himself to you. This is in-house stuff, folks. This is what we just know as children of God, followers of Jesus. We know about the secret things of prayer. We know that we have a Heavenly Father that loves to answer prayer. Especially because I tell people, I say, well, you're the famous one. You're the famous one. You're the one that David talked about. You're the one that Moses talked about. You're the one that Elisha talked about. You're the famous one. And you love me. And I believe, I believe with all of my heart that no good thing will be withheld from me. In other words, if it's withheld, there's a really, really good reason for it. And we just trust God that to be true. So number four, if there's successful prayer, we continue patiently waiting on God till the blessing we seek is granted. In other words, it's not just, well, I've had instant prayers, you've had instant prayers. I've had a prayer that happened within the same moment answered. And have you ever been near to a car? How many here have had you could have been killed in some accident? You raise your hand. Me too. 1 second the other way, I wouldn't be here talking about it. We look and say, boy, there's a prayer that God answered. We prayed for his protection. And then just a moment later, we are thanking him and praising him and blessing him. Think of guidance, answer to prayer, a knock on the door, somebody coming to see you. Just, all kinds of provisions that the Lord would send our way that we just knew it was God. So we continue patiently waiting on God till the blessing is granted. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8, although it says ask and you will receive, it doesn't mention some things that other verses bring in. All right, for example, there's nothing in Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, nothing about the time or the circumstances. There's nothing about whether God's going to answer that prayer right now. Is God going to answer that prayer right now? Sometimes he's I've seen that. You've seen that instantly. We prayed and that person was feeling better and was fine and functioning. And after we prayed, and they said, it was really something when you guys prayed for us, I just felt heaven come down in that room. And we said, oh, that was when we were praying. So we know that there's nothing about the time. It says, ask and you shall receive. There may be a waiting period, right? It didn't happen today. And yet God continues to look after us. There's nothing maybe about the circumstances. So in other words, God's working some circumstances going, we don't see them, but we realize that he's putting things in place and he's guiding and he's directing behind the scene. And we look back and we say, we dusted this thing with fingerprint powder. And here we are dusting around, and we see that God was there, and God was there, and God was there, and God was working behind the scene, and God was preparing that person to answer this prayer, and that was an answer coming together. And we just say, wow, there was a timing that we had to get. There's a circumstance that had to come about. Sometimes in our own heart, You will, if you're new at this, you'll soon know that there are some prayers you thank God the rest of your life that he didn't answer. Oh, thank you, God, that we broke up. Thank you, God, I didn't marry that guy. I didn't marry that woman. Thank you, God, that was that close. You are such a good God. And meanwhile, what you don't know is that if you're a guy, that girl, she's thanking God. That was a guy, such an idiot. I'm so thankful. She's thanking God for the same thing you're thanking. So, I mean, how disappointing is that, right? So there's circumstances, there's timing, and there may be particular reasons why prayer is not answered. There are particular reasons, right? Sometimes they're in you. There's no way you were ready for that to become that way. You were not ready. You were not mature enough. There was lots of stuff that was still going on. So there's particular reasons why it isn't answered. And sometimes he lets us know what is, and sometimes he doesn't. So that's one thing to say. But there's also, and often, the need for the exercise of our faith. The reason why God didn't go, like now, is because your faith is not built up. Your faith is not encouraged enough. So by exercise, our faith is strengthened. Right? I have driven with people where my faith was strengthened. I thought, how was the ride? I'll tell you, that was an exercise in faith. Holy moly. Ever been with somebody, you know, they've got their hand over, they're talking to you half the time, and they don't really know quite what's going on there. And they got one hand on the steering wheel, and they're talking to you, and we're swerving in out of traffic. And I'm, hallelujah. Boy. So, some things are a real exercise in faith. But it's true, isn't it? You can look back. I'm looking at Cam here. Cam can look back on little baby Lewis and say, you know, the trying of their faith. But their faith is, they prayed prayers deeper than they ever prayed in their whole life. And they're deeper. And the family's deeper. They've been through the valley, right? And so we just say, thank you, God. But there was a strengthening. There was a strengthening of their faith, as in our lives. And I say, look back, wow. It's so wonderful how my faith was strengthened. And therefore, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the delays. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful that it didn't maybe come out just because I'm better because of this. And I've been strengthened. So if our faith was not strengthened, it would remain as it was before. You see, you may want a request. God wants your faith strengthened. You may want certain thing to happen. Fair enough. God knows that. He says he knows you have need of those things. He knows you need that better job. He knows you need an increase in income. He knows that you need, you know, he knows those things. So, but if your faith hasn't been strengthened, then it's almost a waste. If our faith was not strengthened, it would remain as it was before. So by the need, by the trial, by the difficulty, our faith is strengthened. Right? When you meet somebody who's a prayer person, who we say, let's get them, they really know how, haven't you? We say, let's get someone, they really know how to pray. What are we saying? We know that their faith has been strengthened. We know, and it wasn't all by answered prayer, it was even by the prayers that weren't answered the way that we wish they were. So that's something else. Let me give a couple of more things. Many times that we're able to glorify God by, and here's a little quote you can write down, by the manifestation of patience. By the manifestation of patience. It's a grace by which God is greatly magnified, by my patience. See, our manifestation of patience glorifies God. When God sees how patient you have been, waiting on the Lord, manifesting patience, wondering when God's going to do what you've prayed and asked him to do. But your manifestation of patience glorifies him. And you know, by the way, just thinking of that same thing, is that many times my heart may not yet be prepared for the answer to my prayer. There's more things in my heart that need to be made right. Things that have, you know, caused me harm before because I never dealt with it. And maybe through difficulties and trials and waiting on the Lord, we are strengthened, we are deepened, we become better people and nicer people and just good people because of it. So when we say to someone, have you prayed about it? We know this, that if you've prayed according to his will, and if you have come in the strong name of the Lord, and if your desire is to bless him and worship him, I believe that that prayer will be answered. And if not, there will be something that will come to your heart that the Lord will show. So we say, pray about it. As Oswald Chambers said, trust God and take the next step. Trust God and take the next step. I think of that scripture, trust and not be afraid. Or I think of another verse, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed is that person. You see, this is one of the best things that can ever happen to us here today is that we live in the spirit of prayer. A spirit of prayer. I'm around people like that much in my life, other leaders that I know, and in our own church for that matter. And I say, boy, thank God that person lives in a spirit of prayer. I mean, everything is a prayer request. They'll say, are you going to take that trip? Oh, I don't know. Why don't we just pray about it? So there, how many times have you stood in somebody's place and somebody just said, why don't we pray right now? Well, right now? Yeah, right now. Oh, okay. Gather hands together and we're praying. Right? We're praying. And said, I thought, oh, what a wonderful thing. Now, the next day, I mean, I've been on a street corner where I said, listen, okay, well, good to be with you. We'll see you. I said, oh, we need to bless each other. Standing on a really busy corner. And I said, Lord, we just want to thank you. We're standing there like this, got our arms around each other, and we're standing there on the corner praying. When people are walking by, who knows what that's going is, right? And I thought, this guy lives in a spirit of prayer. Everything's a prayer moment. Why don't we pray about it? Why don't we pray about it? Right here, let's just stop right now. We know we've got a meeting. Let's pray about the meeting. Well, I've got a trip to make. Let's pray about your trip. Well, I'm going to have, let's pray about that. And wouldn't you like to be that? Wouldn't you love if you were that person who said, you know, there's that girl, that guy walks and lives in a spirit of prayer. So we pray as we walk about. We pray that when we lie down, we pray that when we rise up, and I believe that the answers will always be coming. Maybe not that prayer that I prayed, there was reasons that I still don't know. I don't know why God didn't answer that prayer or that prayer or that prayer. But I'm telling you, folks, there have been somebody said, well, it must be just coincidence. It was just coincidence. Well, let them keep coming then. If that's what it was, please, more coincidences. Because I'm telling you that there's prayer after prayer after prayer. And the sin in my life is that many times I forgot to tell God how thankful I was. That he was there with me and he guided me and directed me. So if you walk in a spirit of prayer, you will see answers coming all the time. One over here, one there, one for so-and-so, one for guidance over there. That thing, you know, happened. This happened over there, and you see it, and you bless the Lord. Thousands and tens of thousands of prayers being offered up because that's your life. See, the thing is not, like, and I've been, because I'm a pastor, right, but I say, you know, we should pray about that, and you can just see, boy, I know, is that bad? I thought we were just going to have a little talk here. We're going to get down, we're going to pray about this. Oh, well, is everything okay? Yeah, it's fine. We're just going to, like, you could tell that individual, prayer was that thing when nothing else worked out is what you did. Right? When you're hanging on to the last knot, we're going to pray. Oh, now we're going to pray about it. Oh, dear God. Instead of saying, that's the first thing we should be doing about it. Right? We pray over board meetings. We pray over elders meetings. We pray for guidance and for direction. We pray for the young people. These are the things that we involve ourselves in. Thousands and thousands of prayers being offered up. And you know what we really should be doing. We should have a prayer journal. I used to have one, and I got lazy, and Val used to have one. We just write down the prayer that we prayed, and then when that answer would come, that we would rejoice and say, thank the Lord for that he looked after that, and, or something else worked out. It wasn't always exactly what we wanted and what we thought it should be, but we're very grateful for God's hand upon us. So, if you would desire anything for God's glory, here's my closing remarks. If you desire anything for God's glory, is there anything here this morning that you desire for God's glory? Then I would say, pray about it until you get it. I love that verse in Lamentations where the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they're new every morning. Say, thank you, God, for watching over. Even at the end of a day, say, thank you, God, for watching over me today. Get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you for protecting me at nighttime. Right? It just goes on and on and on. So, and the value of this and the purpose of this and the strength of all this thing is that we confess and believe that God exists, because this is one of the apologetics, really, of the Christian faith, is that our God is alive and answers prayer. See, when you share Christ with your neighbor, you need to be of the kind of a person that says, listen, I'll be glad to pray with you. And they think you're talking about your church. And I say, no, I'd be glad to pray with you. That when God answers that prayer for them, they will give glory to God, or at least they'll be thinking about God, that they'll know that there's a God that exists in this 21st century, and he's still the living God that his loving, living God, are you catching with me? This loving, living God answers prayer. Is there a greater witness that you can bring to a situation where you pray for that person? You don't wait for, you just say, I just feel led that this is one way that God may want to glorify himself here, bring glory to his name, so I'm going to pray for this person that God would look after their finances, or God would look after their marriage, or that God would help them through that crisis or that divorce or whatever it would be. And when you pray, not generally, but specifically, Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon Grandma. Lord, bless her. Lord, I pray that you take away her fear. And Lord, thank you for my new friend, John. And Lord, I thank you for him. I'm glad we met here today. Lord, I pray you show yourself mighty to him. Pray he'd know there's a God in heaven that loves him. I tell you, folks, that's powerful. And when he comes back, he says, you know, funny thing. You know that prayer you prayed? He said, well, I think it was answered. And then, because they're still new to them, right? But we are the one opportunity we have, say, how do we know God's alive? Well, let him answer some prayers. Right? Because it's the equivalent. When we call and say, Father, we come in Jesus' name, and our goal here is that you would be glorified. Then we pray. And a powerful thing is, it's like the equivalent of dialing 911. God says, look, somebody wants to glorify my name. And they're asking of me. I say, Lord, we ask. We ask because you said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. See, someone may still say, well, what about that prayer wasn't answered? No, it wasn't. I agree. And I don't know, and someday I'm bringing my list to heaven with me. Why did you not answer that prayer? That really seemed important to me. But the point of it is, folks, when you've had 10,000 prayers answered, right? It's just, you say, no, curiosity, if nothing else, should bring you to prayer. To say, this is a God, he builds this himself. He's the one. We wouldn't even know what, I wouldn't have a verse to speak on here if it had not been given by the Lord in the first place. It was his idea. He said, ask, seek, knock in my name. He said, if you have the confidence, right, that you've asked in my name, and if you know that he has heard you. By the way, in our Regina Apostolic Church where I trained, it's been going for about 75 years. There's a very strong ministry there even today in the city. But I know that Brother Story, who was the founder of that church, 1870 or something, I don't know when it was, but I never met him, but it wasn't that long ago. But they would pray for the sick pretty well regularly. I mean, every service they'd pray for the sick. And people would come up, I mean, Christians, born-again, spirit-filled Christians would come up, And they'd say, why have you come up? To get healing. Do you know God wants to heal you? Do you know that? Have you prayed about it? Prayed about what? Whether God wants to heal you or not. And this person standing at the front of the church say, well, we want to pray according to his will. You need to go home and pray about it, see if it's God's will to heal you. Boy, all of a sudden it shifts from the guy at the front to this person going home and saying, Lord, is this, and then, again, verse I've been reading, is that, Lord, I believe it's according to your will, that you would be glorified, that you would heal me. And the person comes back the next Sunday and said, yes, I prayed about it. I believe it's God's will that I be healed. Then, okay, now we'll be in agreement. See the power of agreement. Praying together over something that they, instead of saying, listen, abracadabra, I want you to lay hands on me because and you don't get involved in it. I just believe that there's something about that. That prayer in those days, they had a high percentage of people healed, I believe, because they went home and prayed about it to see if it was God's will, and then they trusted God and the Lord would touch them. So have we prayed about it? God's treasury is exhaustive, and God is the source of our supply. And we come to the place where we can say, and this is the sweetness of it. We come to the place where we can say, I believe he's heard me. That's why you have to pray through sometimes. Right? So you can say, and I tell you, if you can pray really strong prayers and there's no emotion in your eyes or your face, or I don't know if you've really gone deep enough on it. When we say, Lord, I ask, isn't just some kind of I'll put a quarter in, who knows, I might hit the jackpot. No, it's, Lord, I'm coming in the strong name of your son. I don't know what else to do, God. I'm bankrupt. I'm done. I'm done here. But I come to you. Lord, would you stretch forth your hand? Will you show yourself mighty? And you get up from your knees. You know that you've contacted God. Say, I believe he heard me. Because he said, if you know that he's heard you, you know that you have the request that you ask. And that requires a deeper, it's not just, see, I know these little crazy little prayers people pray, and they're not the kind that move heaven and earth. The kind that move heaven and earth is when you've come in that strong name and with a confidence that God is a God who wants to answer this prayer. Psalm 65:2. I don't know if I think it's even on the overhead, but oh, you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. To you who hear prayer. And then lastly, Psalm 34, there is no want to those that fear him, that come to him and trust him. And so we have a journey of prayer. It's like a secret weapon. The church seldom uses it. I know, Richard, you know, and I from elders' meetings and from board of directors' meetings, sometimes we'll say, we're a little short here, a little down this month. There's a tendency to count nickels and noses, or noses and nickels. Say, well, shouldn't be. We got this many people. And yeah, we'll just, take up. And I believe that God allows us to go through times of want so that we will get out of our chair and get on our knee and say, Lord, unless you supply, we're going to be in some trouble here. Right? So in other words, why does God allow there to be need? God allows there to be need so that you don't have a board of directors and you don't have a group of elders that don't know how to pray because they said, we got enough. We got nickels and noses here. It all works out. See, I don't think it's going to work out this time. We have to pray and seek the Lord. Then we come to the Lord, and we could say, and I can say this, Richard, longer than me, that never, never, never has God failed us when we called upon his name. Later we said, boy, thank you, God, for that need. Thank you that there wasn't enough in the bank account. Thank you, God, that we had to really trust you. This is great. This is powerful now, Lord. This is what you wanted all along, because God is the source of all of our supply. Wow. Well, I make my confession. I want to be a man of prayer. And I know it doesn't come about by just dreaming about it. It comes by praying. And so I believe that the Lord may, first of all, have a moment of prayer tonight. Just before your eyes shut, or in the morning if you're an AM person. And just say, Lord, I come. I was praying the other night in preparation of Sunday that God would forgive me for my prayerlessness and my carelessness, that I didn't pray about things that I should have. And I don't mean just some little prayer. I mean a real prayer where I felt that God wanted me to pray for someone and I didn't. And I said I'll be praying for you and I didn't. I think we must be careful with that, right? If you're going to say I'm praying for you, make sure you pray. Otherwise it becomes good night and good luck. Right? It needs to be, say, listen, I will pray for you. And sometimes it's, I'll pray for you right now. But the Lord calls us to this, and it's very exciting, it's very beautiful. And if we know that he's heard us, a God who hears and answers prayer. And I don't know about you, but I find myself saying, Lord, it seems that I have to come so often. He said, that's what I designed it. I designed prayer and need to walk together so that you'll always need me. There'll never be a time when I won't have to pray about things. And if it is, woe betide us all. God is deepening you. And the sweetness of when, and later you say, Lord, thank you so much. Like when we've been praying for someone and they give their heart to Christ, we say, oh God, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for guiding. Thank you for directing. Thank you for your hand upon me. Thank you, God, for that good report from the doctor. Thank you, God, you heard my prayer. See, that is where together we want to head. That we know the power of God. We know the famous one. And that when we pray, see, when people come, or they should say, they should be able to have this and say, I heard this is a church where God answers prayers. You say, yes, it is. The mighty one. The mighty one answers prayer. And so when we say the question, have you prayed about it? Well, let that be a stirring of our hearts. Say, no, I didn't, but I will now. I'll pray about it. And have you trusted God? And have you asked God? And have you thanked him in advance because you're convinced that that's a prayer that he wants to answer? And to God be the glory. And I want to say this morning, thank you, God, for the thousands of prayers you've answered in my life. So grateful. So many times, so many good things have happened to me. And I prayed about it. And I thank the Lord. I thank and praise God that he heard my prayer. You know, I can remember praying. Just how I remember someone asked me, he said, Owen, have you prayed about, we were talking about girlfriends. Guys talk about girlfriends. Not as much as girls talk about guy friends. But. And I had just met Val. And is this getting serious at all? You know, have you prayed about it? No, I never, you know, I can remember I prayed about it. I really like her. Seems like a really nice girl. Have you prayed about it? And I prayed that God would guide me and direct me if this was to be my wife. It's an answer to prayer. And I felt it was. And she felt, see, it was better that she hear from God. Is it God's will that you hang around with that guy for the next 50 years? And I thank the Lord. I'm grateful for an answer to prayer. Because it sure could have gone a different way. And for all of you, is there a need this morning? Is there any? Stand with me. And I'm going to ask the question again. Is there a need that you have right now? Let's not wait to say, well, it's nice theoretical talk on prayer. Let's bring something to him. Just even as we, maybe you could just play softly, Krishna, if you would. Just that it would be, I see, I've got, there's things in my heart that if you pray with me now, I'll just join you with my prayer. I'll pray quietly and you'll pray quietly. Ask. Ask him. That's what this is about. He loves you. Is he able? Look to the resurrection. Is he loving? Look to the cross. And then ask. He told us to ask. He invites us to prayer. It's not us making us say, I think we found something here. This is what God wants. So I'm going to ask him for something that's on my heart. You ask him for something, even while we're standing here. Don't wait till you get home. Just say, Lord Jesus, this is my need. I need your help, God. This poor man, this poor woman, I'm in trouble, God. Help me. Hear my cry. I'm asking largely that my joy will be full and your name will be magnified. I ask you to arise, O God. Let your enemies be scattered. Stretch forth your hand. Open a window. Lord, work in that child's life, in that teenager's life, in that young adult's life. Lord, supply that physical need for so-and-so. But we come to you in the glorious name of Jesus, who is able and loving. Thank you for telling us about prayer. Oh, God, we bless you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for being with Cam and Carla and their family. We're glad that you're with Randy today, and we pray for him, as we have. The power of agreement. And we look to you, Lord, for the answers. Show us how to be patient. There's maybe things that have to be worked out sometimes. But Lord, we are coming simply because you said, if you ask, I will answer. And we bless you for that. We say, thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Great and mighty God. Great and mighty God. Maybe someone else here would like to lead out in just a prayer. Just a short prayer, if you feel. Raise your voice. And Lord, I pray that a spirit of prayer will come upon us as a church. That we have a strong desire to pray. I thank you that you said you have not because you ask not. So I thank you for the scores of prayers that went up here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would answer them. That would be another praise the Lord. That we'd be able to put at the end of that email, PTL. Praise the Lord. All glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I pray you touch everyone here today. Lord, right from the beginning of the service, we've sensed your presence here. So go with us, use us. If there's any opportunity to pray for somebody in their need, oh God, I pray that you would direct our steps. I want to tell you that we love you. An awesome God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' strong name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you're able to come tonight. It's a lighthearted night, but we trust that you'll come enjoy it with us. We're glad that you were here this morning. Blessings on you. Please join us on the patio, or if you need special prayer, please come to the front.